And it was on my heart to share a few things that God had been working in my heart. So I'd like to start off in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 3, and it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings. Our Heavenly Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and God put all the stars in place. He created every living thing in this earth. He has filled us with His Spirit, His power from on high, so that we can live in from a seated position in Christ, where He has placed us in Christ Jesus. He knows every hair upon your head, and He knows all about you. He's the searcher of all hearts, and He knows the secret chambers of the heart. He has given to you and me new life so that we can live victoriously. Our Heavenly Father has given you bread for your food, and He even provides you seeds so you can sow, so you can harvest in abundance in every area of your life. God has provided for your health and your wealth. He has given you a hope and a future. And God says He withholds no good things to those that walk uprightly before Him. So God has really freely given unto you and me all things to enjoy. He has given you direct access to Him through Jesus Christ right into the holies of holies. Our Heavenly Father has placed His desires into your heart, and He has also provided for your faith, so you can believe to receive all the things that He has freely given to you. See, God wants you to enjoy your life right now, as well as that throughout all eternity. He wants you to walk and live in His power. He wants you to demonstrate His power and to walk and live in the Spirit of God. See, when our hearts are trusting in God, it allows Him to open doors for us to declare His love and His compassion, where we can manifest His power by preaching the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, which is the power of God. When we move and live and have our being in God, signs, miracles, and wonders will follow us. When we allow God to lead us by His Spirit, we can be those ambassadors who He's called us to be. See, worries, fears, and doubts will rob you of your faith and your confidence and trust in God. So when we speak negatives of ourselves or other people or our situation, we are contradicting what God has spoken over our life. Let's read it again. Blessed be the God, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the word "who have blessed us," this word "blessed" in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, is the word eulogia, and it means to speak well of, to invoke a blessing upon, and prosper you. So God has spoken prosperity, He's spoken blessings over and in your life. And God has called for prosperity over you. I mean, think of that. He wants you to be blessed in every area of your life with all supernatural blessings in Christ Jesus. God has spoken this in your life, and we've received this when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we confessed Him as Lord and we believe God raised Him from the dead. See, we are supernaturally blessed, and it's a done deal from God's part. Our Heavenly Father has spoken well of you and me, and He has spoken all blessings into your life. He has redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. He has accepted you. He has forgiven you all trespasses. He has given you wisdom and insight. He has made you known, or He's made known unto us, the mystery of His will. He has given us an inheritance that we should be to the praise of His glory, and that we should trust in Him. See, God wants you to trust in Him. We have every reason to trust in the mighty God. And if you think back over your life, however long you've been a believer, look how many times God has healed you. Look at how many times God has provided for you. Look at how many times He's made a way for you to escape when you was in an awkward situation. Look how God has been with you and how He's with you, and He's never let you down. He's never left you or forsaken you. And God is always with you, and He's always for you, no matter what the world is saying or your negative thoughts might be saying. We got to believe what God has spoken into our life. That's what God wants you to think upon. That's where we set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. 3 John 1:3 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." See, God wants you to prosper, and He wants you to be in health. But it's dependent upon your soul prospering. See, he loves you dearly, and God's desire is that you have a good journey through this life by being successful in your business, in your relationships, in your family, husband and wife, and husband and wife with their children, and children with their mums and their dads, auntie and uncles, cousins, and those about you. See, God wants you to be in good health, and he wants you to have great relationships. He wants you to be successful, and God wants you wealthy, which is to have no lack in any area of your life or living. And it's dependent upon your soul prospering, or as much as your soul is prospering. See, your soul is your will, mind, and emotions. What you determine, your desires in life, your mind where your thoughts come from, and your mind where emotions also rise up, which can affect your thinking. So what are you thinking? What is your desires? What are your emotions like? Well, God has given you everything. He's provided everything for you so that your soul life can be blessed and prospering. And when we understand God's heart and love for us, his wills, his desires for our life, then our minds can be in a positive state where we can receive all of God's goodness, that our minds are pure and clean through the washing and water of the word. See, we are body, soul, and spirit, and God has provided for all these areas. But we also have a job to do in our part, and that is to keep healthy in body and mind, filled with God's wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, so we can know what we are doing and how to rightly handle our affairs in life in every area. And by doing the things God's way, when we do things God's way, that we don't pay attention to what man says about God, but we do things what God is showing us, what God has enlightened our heart and our understanding with, what we've read in the scriptures and God has revealed to us as to be true and to move in. When we do things with God, when we're led by the Spirit, then we will prosper. We will be successful in every single area, in witnessing, in ministering, in our relationships with our wives and our husbands, or our friends, brothers and sisters, auntie and uncles, our children. When we follow God's way, we will indeed become prosperous in all areas, as we are faithful and persistent and consistent in looking only to God and following his way of life and living. See, God is the one that is guiding the humble and meek in heart, those that trust him and those that go to him. See, the world has its own ways of living, and it depends upon self or other people by looking to people. So many millions of people are walking in their own ways. Many people apply the principles of God without God, and they are successful. Many of those people know how to operate in the laws of God that God has set up, which govern this earth and this universe, and they apply them and are successful in this world, but they do it without God. So they're not really truly successful. They're not thinking about life after this earth when Christ comes back to gather the church. See, lots of people run after the wrong things with the wrong motive because that's the way they've been taught, that you got to be successful, you got to work hard, you got to do this, you got to do that. And their God is their job or their work. Everyone wants a nice life. Everyone wants to take care of their families. That should be natural in any man or woman, to provide for their family, to take care of things and to live a good life. Everybody wants that. But when we do it with God, we can be guaranteed. You know, guaranteed. It's guaranteed with God. When we do things God's way, everything that we need is guaranteed so that we can really be blessed. See, on the other hand, many of God's people trust God but do not operate in the principles of God. And many of God's wonderful people are missing out on the things that God has freely given them to enjoy and the abundance in all things that he wants them to have. But once a believer begins to operate in the principles of God with understanding, they will be able to manifest, and they will manifest, all that God intended them to have. So listen, guys, you know, God doesn't want you in poverty. He doesn't want you just getting by. And he doesn't want you to decrease in life. God is a God of increase. He wants you to be so blessed that you can be a blessing, that you can really help in your communities, in your families, in whatever God shows you to do. And this is the greatest thing that any of us can do, is to do what God shows us to do. And when we obey God, then his blessings will come down looking for you. They'll chase you down and they're overtaking you. Because this is God's heart. This is God's plan. He doesn't want you to just get by. He doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to thrive in this world. He wants you to shine as his lights, as his examples of how to truly live. And we see this for all the pages and records of the scriptures where God's men and women, when they stood for God, how God blessed them, how God took them to a land flowing with milk and honey, how God took his people, his man, from the pit to the palace. This is what God wants to do with you. And you are successful. God sees you as successful. He doesn't see you any other way. He doesn't see you even as you're living right now. He sees you more successful because he wants you to be blessed as an individual, and he wants you to be a blessing to the people around you. He wants you to proclaim the gospel of Christ, the good news. He wants you to bring his healing, his deliverance, his light, his wisdom, his knowledge to other people so that they can also walk with God. We got a great life, and it's just about our attitude and our mentality that we got to come out of negative ways of thinking, the old man nature that seems to have attached itself to us. We got to reckon dead, and we don't pay attention to that old man nature. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're starting verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." God wants you to trust in him with all of your heart, with all of your being, in every area of your thinking. He wants you to trust in him. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever area of life you're thinking about, he wants you to trust him, that he's going to take care of those things for you, and that you leave those things in his hands, and that you're going to depend upon him. It starts with a decision to trust God. You know, we need to trust God in every area. And this comes out of a relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, the more that you get to know him, the more that you trust in him. The more that I've grown as a believer over the years, I can see God. He's just so faithful. When I put my trust in him, he's so faithful. When I'm fearing, worrying, or doubting, things don't seem to happen because God is a faith God. And you can't please God without that faith. And in that faith is confidence and trust. So God wants you to confidently trust in him. And you have every reason to confidently trust in him, because he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings, all supernatural blessings you are blessed with. And they become manifest when you start looking to God, when you start doing the things that he shows you to do. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. God first. He wants to be first in every area of your life. Every single area. Not one missing out. And when he's first in that, that area is going to be blessed. So whatever area that you acknowledge God in, you're going to be blessed in that area. So in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He's going to show you where to go. He's going to give you the wisdom what to do, when to do it, why you're doing it. See, God wants you to have understanding. And when you understand what you're doing with God and what you're applying, why God wants you to do certain things, then you can do it with full trust, full confidence, full faith, knowing that God has a great plan. Verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear or respect the Lord and depart from evil." You know, when we start looking at our own ways, we could be tempted to do the wrong thing, or to look in the wrong areas, or to even do it and take upon the dependency upon ourselves rather than God. But when we are not wise in our own eyes, when we're respecting God, when we're looking to him, it says it shall be health. See, God wants you to have that health. Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, the life. He wants life in your bones. And honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. God says, honor him with your substance, with the things that you are blessed with in your life. God wants you to first, number one, honor him with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And if you do that, God's wisdom shows us, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. This is our expectation when we honour God. The promise to us is that when we honour him with our first fruits, our barns will be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, my son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. See, God has given us his perfect wisdom. Maybe these people weren't doing these things. Who this is addressed to? People weren't honouring God with their first fruits, and God was lovingly correcting them because he wants the best for his kids. So he's given his wisdom. Look, if you do this, you're going to receive this. Because this is what God wants. Verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, because then you understand what you're doing and the wisdom to do it. You've got the wisdom to apply God's knowledge that he's given, and you're doing it with understanding. You're doing it with a purpose, with a fixed heart, a fixed mind. You're doing it with a systematic mind and heart, knowing why you're doing what you're doing. See, God doesn't want you to be ignorant. God puts us in the know. Verse 14 says, for the merchandise of it, okay, this wisdom, this understanding, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honour. See, when we got God's wisdom and his understanding, nothing can compare to that. When we use his wisdom, when we use God's wisdom, then we will be prospering in every area. This is God's heart for you. You've got to believe this is God's heart for you. Verse 17 says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding, see, God's given us an example about wisdom and understanding. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. See, the people of the world do not trust God with all their hearts. They lean unto their own understanding. They've all gone their own ways. They do things without God. They even apply God's principles and become successful. God makes the rain to and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. The people, unbelievers, they operate in God's principles without even knowing it. And some know it, but they do it without God. But they know these principles work, just like the law of gravity or the law of lift or whatever type of different laws there are, the cause and effect. You know, they know about these laws and they operate them. And Jesus said in the Gospels, when he talked about the unjust steward, he said that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light in their generation. Why? Because they knew how to wonder. They knew and understood how to operate in the laws and the principles that God has set up that govern this earth. And the believers should be operating in these very successfully. And once we start to learn them, we can start to operate in them. But we don't want to be conformed to this world. We don't want to think like the unbeliever. An unbeliever thinks without God. But our thinking comes from God. And God has given us a sound mind through the Spirit of God that he's given us and the Word of God that he's provided for us. And he gives to us and through us. Romans 12, 1 to 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God is saying, don't think like the world, but think what I've given you. The wisdom and understanding that I've placed in your heart and in front of your eyes, you do this and you prove it to yourself. You prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove me by doing that. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace, Paul says, given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we're to control our thinking. We're to lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We bring everything back to what God says. And God wants us to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you to trust him. And God wants you to prove him that he is good on his promises, and to prove to yourself that God is faithful to fulfill his promises to you. Psalms 46:10 says this: be still and know that I am God. See, we are trusting in God. And when we're trusting in God, we will be still. In other words, we won't make moves from our own effort, from fear, from negative emotions, or from our lack. We won't start acting because we're fearing about something, or because we have lack, we better do something about it. See, God is saying, be still and know that I am God. And in the rest of that first Psalms 46:10, it says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And he will be through you when you believe his word to you. When you are still and allow God to go to work, so that you can be that example of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness, and of God's provision. So verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See, we run to God, we look to God, we turn to God, we rely solely on God in everything. This is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to rely on our jobs or on our investments in this world, but our investment is in God. Our hearts and minds is invested in God's wisdom and his love for us. See, we're the ones that decide from our own free will heart if we're going to trust God with all of our hearts. It starts with a decision to totally depend upon God for your answers and for your directions for your life, and also for the provisions you need, you know, to live, pay the rent and other bills, to buy food, your clothes, or to have a breakaway. We can either rely on ourselves and what we have, and if we lack, if we're relying on ourselves, if we lack, then the fears, worries and doubts kick in. Or we can trust God that no matter what is in front of us, that we will trust and depend upon God to provide for those needs. So we can either rely on ourselves to take care of everything, or we can be still and know that he is God, and we take our need to God and we let him do the work for us. See, what we got to remember is we live in a world that trades and operates in currencies, whether that is pounds or the yen or the dollar or the rupee. See, the law of exchange in this world is finance when it comes to buying and selling and trading and paying the bills. So we as believers live in this world and we also need finance. But when we're looking to God, we as believers know that God is our main source of supply, not our jobs or our rich auntie and uncles or friends. God is our main source of supply, and God can use any of these avenues to meet our need, as God has many avenues of supply. But a lot of people look at their source of supply as their job, or their mum, or their dad, or their rich uncle or auntie. But God is the source of supply for any true believer. We depend upon him. We don't look to anyone else. We need to go to God for everything. And God is a jealous God. He wants you to go to him. He really wants you to go to him. He really wants you to trust him. And he really wants you to prove that what he says, if you do, he's going to bless you. And the only way you're ever going to know is start doing what God shows you to do. See, God can provide you with that perfect job or other means. God can use many avenues to supply your need. So you might get that wonderful job that you're looking for, or you might have a series of jobs till you get to the job that your dream job that you desire. But instead of running and chasing and focusing on how we can get money, we need to be smart, and we need to run and chase and put our focus on God and keep him first. Keep him the first love of our life and in our life. And when we do that, he will provide a way for our financial needs so that our needs can be met, as well as any other area of your life, whether it's health or strength or relationships. When we go to God, he will really take care of us. So it's up to you. You know, I don't know where you are on your walk right now. You may be doing really great and successful, and that's wonderful, but there might be some people that are struggling in areas of health, in finances, in relationships. And what I encourage you to do is really go to God and really make a decision that you're going to do what God wants you to do. And he'll show you what to do when you turn to him with all your heart, because you're trusting him. Because when we think about it, you know, if we've been trusting ourselves, look how far that's got us. But when we trust in God, every time you've gone and trusted God, look how he's blessed you. Look how he's made a way for you to escape. Look how he's provided for you, because God's faithful. See, God can open up great jaws for that perfect job or other means to meet your need. When you go to him, trust in him to supply for you. He is faithful to come through for you. And just remember, God is the source of our supply. He is the main source. If you've got a fantastic job, then praise the Lord. But God provides you with that job. He's the source. He knows how to meet your need. And we're all different, and we're all individuals, and we all have different sets of circumstances. But God can meet our need, whatever the circumstances are. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 18 is a really great verse. And it says in verse 18 that God has given us power. He's given us power to get wealth. It's when we are remembering him and walking with him and listening to him and obeying his voice, what he would have us to do. That God has given his wisdom, his understanding, that when we do what he shows us to do, then we can start to manifest this wealth. Wealth is having every need in every department met. No need. So there's no need in your life. You know, you might have loads of finances. There's many millions and billions there, but they have many problems. Okay, there might be people with many problems, but with no finances, right? But when we're doing it with God, we can have all of it, because that's what God wants us to have, all of it, so that we're blessed to be a blessing. And see, the way that we start to operate and receive this wealth, one part of it, God shows us what to do. See, giving is a very big subject, and the wisdom of God we have already read. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 3, let's read it again, Proverbs 3:9, that we are to honor God with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increases. This is wisdom, this is power, right? This is God's wisdom. And when we apply it with heart, with understanding, with confidence and trust in God's ability to perform on his promises, okay, then we manifest the baby, just like Abraham and Sarah. They manifested the baby come the end because they trusted God's word to them, and they gave glory to God even when they didn't have the baby. Even when Sarah wasn't pregnant, they gave glory to God. Abraham gave glory to God. So whatever your need is, you know, you give glory to God even before you received what you desire, and it's yours, you know. And the reason why you would give glory to God, because you take God at his word and you trust him. See, this is the wisdom of God. In James 1:5 it says, if you lack wisdom, then basically simply ask God what to do, and he'll give you the wisdom of what you should do. So if you lack wisdom in the area of finances, ask God, what would you have me do? What should I do? Not only does the scripture show us, God can also work in your heart and show you what to do. See, in the five senses mind, it seems crazy to give if we have little. But one of the laws God has set up for us to operate in is the law of sowing and reaping, also giving and receiving. Where there is an inflow, there needs to be an outflow. What is your mindset when it comes to finances? Is it your God? Is it more precious than depending upon God? We all need finances, right? We know the pressure's on in the world for you to pay your bills. If you don't pay your bills, you've got the debt collectors knocking at the door, or you've got companies chasing you to make a payment plan back with them. And then that puts you in fear and worry when you start looking at, what am I going to do? The first thing that you should do is go to God. Father, what should I do? And when you go to God, he'll give you the wisdom of how to get that sorted out. And he'll deliver you, and he will even eradicate debt out of your life. I know he's done it for me. So how do you view money? See, some people live their life just to make loads of money. They work long hours. You know, they break their necks to die, you know, or work to death to get money. They work long hours. Okay, others may gain it through crime like robbery, stealing, you know, the dishonest way. And the object of the desire is, in this life, is money for these people, rather than the object and desire of life being God. So it all depends what your thinking is, what your attitude towards God is, and what your attitude towards money is. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, he works his finger to the bone, running after the money And then he may get all the money he wants, but then he dies of exhaustion because of all the stress that, and the hours that he's had to work. God didn't design us to live this way. God designs to live a happy and smooth life. He does want us to have a happy and smooth life, even though we get challenges and situations come up. The happy and smooth life is in believing God. And when God comes through for you, when God answers those prayers for you, when you put your faith to work for you, then God goes to work for you. And when you see that happen, what does it do? It builds up your faith more. See, finances are a big deal in the scriptures and our attitude towards it. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is like material wealth or entity that promises wealth or greed a pursuit of gain. See, as true believers, our priority has to be God first. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbour as ourself. When it comes to money, it gives you a wrong type of attitude and mind. If you haven't got it, you could be envious or covetous of other people. It can set problems up, arguments. You borrow off someone, you can't pay them back. Or other people, you know, could look at you in the wrong way. Or look at him, they don't have nothing. Or look at them, they have everything. You know, money plays a big part in this life. But our attitude and mindset to money has to be right. And God has given us that right mindset. Not only through the Spirit of God, but through the scriptures. And it's right there, it's written. So as true believers, our priority is God first. That's our pursuit. If you pursue him, everything else that you need will follow. Luke chapter 10, verses 10 to 12 said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," it's material wealth in this world, or possessions, or all these type of things, "if you haven't been faithful with that, who will commit to your trust the true riches, the true spiritual riches, the wisdom of God, the blessings of God, the direction of God? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" See, we've received everything Christ has received through his death, burial and resurrection. He laid down his life so that we could have it all, that we could truly, freely live and be blessed. So how do you view money? See, money is a servant, it's not the master. Jesus Christ is the master and God is our top master, right? And Jesus Christ is our Lord, he's our master, he's our saviour. See, many people view money as the master and not the servant. Money in today's world helps us to live and give and pay the things that we need to pay for. And also money is used to finance the movement of the gospel. When our mindset concerning finances become clear for us from God's perspective, then we will utilize our finances properly. And God wants us to honor him with our substance and the first fruits of all our increase. And when we do this with our heart and understanding, then we will prosper. We have to remember back in Bible times, a lot of the offerings to God, it was gold and silver coins, but it was also agricultural means, you know, like farmers and crops and sacrifice and offerings of lambs and sheep and stuff like that. But today we're talking finance. Not many people bring the sheep to a fellowship to honour God or send a cow to a pastor. They may do in some certain countries, I don't know. But like I said, this world, we operate in the currency of finance, okay? But the believer operates in the currency of faith, which is the currency of heaven. And God provides us what we need. So God wants us to honour him with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. And when we do this with heart and understanding, then we will begin to prosper. We will have all need met, and it will be in every area of our life, not just finance. See, when you go through the scriptures, you will see all of God's believing people. They honour God with their increase in finance and also in the fruit of the land and their livestock. When we give as God shows us to give, we will prosper. This is the will of God for all of his people to prosper. When we listen to God and give where he shows us, then we will 1000% prosper in all areas. And you can read a great record in Genesis 26, verses 1 through to 33. And I'll just give an quick overview. Basically, there was a famine in the land and everyone was leaving the land of Egypt, okay? And God told Isaac not to go to Egypt, but to dwell in the land. And Isaac obeyed God, and God told him to sow in that land, and he did sow in that land. And in that same year, in that land where there was a famine, Isaac received 100-fold. And it said the Lord blessed him, and that Isaac waxed great and become very great. See, Isaac obeyed God because he trusts in God. And when we sow where God shows us to sow, when we do what God shows us to do, then we become great, very great, as a witness, as a blessing for God, that he is faithful, he is true. See, we know that Abraham, he gave the best of the spoils of war. Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils of war, and he gave the best of that tenth to Melchizedek. See, Abraham recognized that God was his supply, and it was God that caused him to overcome his enemies. So he honored God. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God was so blessed with that God made him wise and full of wisdom, and also made him rich and gave him long life and the life of his enemies. Listen, God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Not that this wealth and this money that he blesses you with takes over your life and you just live how you want, but he wants you to use it with purpose, and he wants you to use it so that you're blessed, that you are financing God's movement of his word, and that you're blessing God's people and you're pulling it to work for you. Money is a servant, and we have to remember that. And yes, you worked hard for your money, but God's given you the health and strength and the job so that you can work hard for it. And so all our praise and honor goes to God, because he's the one that has blessed us. Everything that we have belongs to God because he's given it to us. See, trusting God in your finances is the beginning of wealth. Using God's wisdom in this world so that we can outdo the adversary and be blessed to be a blessing. God does not want any of his children to lack or be in poverty. God wants us to reign in this life by one Jesus Christ in every area, including finances. Listen, it's important. Finances is important. God wants you to have the right heart and mindset, and he wants you to utilize it properly so that you are blessed. See, the law of seed time and harvest is real and still in play. The greatest investment we could ever make with our finances is to honor God first and with our first fruits. Genesis 8:22 says this: while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. There we see this is continuing. The world is still in existence. The earth still remains, and the laws that God has set up is seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What a wonderful promise and wisdom of God. See, the earth remains today. So if you sow your physical seed in the ground, it will grow. And the same principle applies with our finances or any area that we give. You know, if we sow corruption to ourselves, we reap death. If we sow blessing, we reap life, you know. Psalms 107:37 says, and sow the fields and plant your vineyards, which may yield fruit of increase. Proverbs 11:24-26 says, there is he that scattereth what? Seed, right? And yet increaseth. So a farmer, when he sows his seed in the field, he's not throwing one here, one there, a little bit here. He liberally puts his hand in that seed basket, and he spreads it out everywhere generously. That's what this means. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. He looks like he's just throwing it away, but he's planting it in good ground. He's sowing that seed, and it says, and yet increaseth. And there is he that withholdeth more than is adequate, but it tends to poverty. When we withhold, When we're doing things stingily with the wrong heart, the wrong mindset, because we worry and fear that if I give this, I'm not going to get my need met, then it tends to, that tends to poverty. But when we give liberally, when we scatter off our seed, we'll increase yet more again. Because this is what the wisdom of God in Proverbs is saying. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. See, God is a God of increase, not decrease. He wants to increase what you sow. It's a law set up in the earth, right? God will increase what you sow. It is as simple as that. Let's have a look at more about seed and sowing. Ecclesiastes 11:4 is a great, great record. I've known this record for many years. And it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. So the farmer looks out, he's looking at the wind, oh, I'm not going to sow. So he's not going to go out there. He's looking at the circumstances, the situation. Oh, you know, if I do that, my seed might go over this way, or it might go into another field. And he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. So in the end, the seed has been sown out there. But then the rain comes, you know, and it's, you know, the clouds are all there ready to pour down. So he's like, I'm not going to go and reap that. But if it rains for many days, then his crop is going to be ruined. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. If we look at our financial circumstances, like the bills and the debts or the lack of finances in your life, you will not sow either. God wants you to honor him with your finance. But if you're looking at all your situations, what's going on in your life now, you think, I just haven't got enough to give. And that's just not true, because God is faithful. He'll always give food for your bread and seed to sow. Isaiah 55:10 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministers bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness. I've heard people say you shouldn't give out of a need, but if God shows you to do it, that's what you should do. Because there's faith involved in your giving. You are believing God. With faith, there's trust and confidence. Now, I've had needs in my life, and I'm thinking, well, I really can't afford to give. But then again, I need to give. I'm sowing this with my faith. Father, I'm giving this to you. I honor you. I trust you to provide what I'm lacking. And God is faithful, guys. There's one thing I can say. My God is faithful. No matter what state I've been in, he has always been faithful to provide. He's always been faithful to deliver. And some people that listen to this need to learn to honor God for your blessing, for your encouragement, to see God to go work in a greater way in the areas of finances. See, God will always meet your basic needs to live, and he gives you seed to sow. And the seed to sow portion is for your prosperity, that power to get wealth. But many people eat the seed that God has provided for them to sow. I've done it myself in the past, and I've learnt my lessons. But I'm so thankful to God that he's opened up my heart when I really went to him what I should do about my finances. This is some years back. Then God really showed me. And when I'd done it with faith and confidence in him, and he really does come through, we lack nothing. So if you read the whole of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through to 15, that'll give you more insight on the importance of giving and honouring God. Also read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through to 20 first. If you read that first, then 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 to 15. Okay, where should we give? What does the scripture say about where should we give? Where should we give the first fruits of our increase? We're going to see what the scriptures say. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 9 says this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate. This word communicate is the Greek word koinoneo, and it means to share fully or to fully share unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7 says, be not deceived. God doesn't want you deceived. And he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season, at the right time, we shall reap if we faint not. God doesn't want you to give up. We should give to the one that is encouraging. That's what the scriptures show us. Let's go to Philippians 4:7. Paul said here, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. So Paul was ministering to the believers at Philippi, and their care for him had flourished again, and they began to give. And Paul says, you know, I'm so glad you've done this. Not that I desired a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. You have an account. Is your account full or is it empty? And Paul knew that when these guys gave, and they gave unto God, even though it was going to Paul, that these guys would be blessed, that they'd be fruitful, that God would bless them. Paul knew that through these believers giving, God would greatly bless them. Paul encourages the believers that the end result of their giving was that fruit may abound to their account. 1 Corinthians 9:11 says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So Paul was saying to these guys, look, we've given you the word. We've healed you. We've blessed you. We've given you direction that God has given us to give you. And if we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? 1 Timothy 5:17-18 says, let the elders, the leaders that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So this ox that is ploughing the field, it needs food to keep itself going. Its reward is that food. And someone, a laborer, someone that is working, is worthy of his wages. And so God's ministers, those that give people the sound doctrine, encourages God's people to apply God's principles and to go to God, they're worthy of double honor. This is what Paul was saying to Timothy. Romans 15, what does Paul say here? For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. See, there's a law of exchange there with God amongst his ministers and the people that have need, those that are living to God. So if you read Philemon, that is also a wonderful record. You know, where one of the servants of a believer had done wrong and he ran away, but he come into contact with Paul, got born again, this servant that done wrong, and he owed money to Philemon. But Paul says, look, you know, I'll take care of this, but, you know, I could say that you should take care of me for what I've done for you. But read the record yourself, Philemon verses 1 through to 25. So God wants us to trust him with all our hearts, to honour him with our life and our substance. God says, prove me now, and prove to yourself if I will not do what I said I'm going to do. When you believe me and do your part, watch what I will do for you and more. Here is one more example as I'm going to finish off here now. And it's great as an example that God wants you to prove him. He wants you to prove to yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he wants you to prove him to yourself that he is faithful to keep his promises. In Malachi chapter 3. It says, verse 6 to 14, we read, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? God says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, in tithes and offerings. God says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. But God gives them solution. in verse 10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. So God was saying, look, you're doing the wrong thing, but if you do this, then prove me, and you're going to see that you won't be able to receive everything I got to give to you, because there's just so much of it. And then verse 11, he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. Why? Because every knee's a man. For you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. What about the body of Christ? Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain or empty to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? You know, we're doing this, but we don't see anything happening for us. And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of, and before the Lord of hosts. You know, they're saying that, you know, we done it mournfully before you, and, you know, we've done it with humility of heart, but it's vain to serve you. So they spoke against God as well. So we got to watch what comes out of our mouth, because God is faithful. And when you begin from your heart to honour God, when you decide to live unto him, when you decide to honour him with the first fruits of your increase, he's going to bless you. And God wants you to understand why you're doing it, and with the right heart to do it. And he wants you to have the right attitude towards your finances. And he wants you to understand that money is a servant, is not the master. And that God is your source of supply. He's the one that's going to take care of everything for you. God has blessed us with all supernatural blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And when we walk and operate in the principles of God and we apply them, then those supernatural blessings start to manifest in the senses realm in the area of your need. So this is what God really worked in my heart to share with you. And I pray it blessed you, and I pray and encourage you to honor God. And you give where you're being blessed, where you're being encouraged greatly, where you're being turned to God, where it's benefited your life. So God bless you.